Good morning. Y'all sure were singing pretty this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to John 14. John 14. Now, have y'all enjoyed going through the teachings of Jesus? Have you noticed? It's not really a series, but Pastor Chandler has kind of turned it into a series in terms of how he's filing this on the website. These sermons fall under a collection called The Teachings of Jesus. One thing that I'm trying to draw out as we go through each of these teachings of Jesus is this. There is a version of Christianity that teaches something very different than what Jesus himself taught. Have y'all noticed that? And I want y'all to be sharp. I want you to be discerning. I want you to remember that not all that glitters is Christian. Just because it sounds good does not mean it's necessarily what Jesus taught. And we've got to be discerning. We've got to train our powers of discernment, Scripture says, through practice. And a great way to practice is to take everything we hear and everything we think and everything we do and everything we believe and press it up against God's Word to see if it's true. One of the best things that I've ever been taught was by my pastor growing up. He would say this, "It sounds good, but is it true?" And I think that's a very important question for Christians to ask when it comes to what we believe as believers. And so keep that in mind as we continue to go through these teachings of Jesus. My agenda is to point out to you the disconnect between what popular Christianity, progressive Christianity, or liberal Christianity teaches and what Jesus actually taught in the Scriptures. Well, today we're going to look at a very important passage, John 14, really verses 23 and 24. And it's not hard. If ever I could have a five-minute sermon, today's the day. I mean, I want you to see that. Look with me at verse 23. Let's just read it. Verses 23 and 24. You can see this could be, literally, could be a five-minute sermon. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Again, a five-minute sermon. Verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word." Verse 24, "He who does not love me does not keep my words." Is that hard to understand? I'm going to test you. If you love God, what are you going to do? If you love Jesus, what are you going to do? Keep his words. If you don't love him, what are you going to do? You're not going to keep his word. Y'all ready to pray and be dismissed? But there's a version of Christianity that says, "I love Jesus and live how I want to." There's a version of Christianity that says, "I'm a Christian, yet I can live like this because it's okay somehow, some way." Y'all understand that, right? How in the world do we have a version of Christianity that cannot walk consistently with these plain words right here in our text today? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my word. This is not hard. And if you don't keep his commandments, it's because you don't love him. Y'all, this is not hard. Jesus taught it plainly. And that's what I want to spend our time together looking at this morning. This business of loving Jesus but not living for him, we can't have that. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. To appreciate verses 23 and 24 a little bit more, I want us to wallow in the context a little bit. Are y'all good to go back and really pull out the context and see why is Jesus saying this? What's going on? Well, if you go back at verse 1 in chapter 14, you'll see that Jesus is leaving. Jesus is telling his disciples, "I'm about to leave." He's starting his path toward the cross where he will die, be buried, raised again, and then eventually ascend to heaven. And he's going to be leaving them, and he's preparing his guys. He's preparing his disciples for his absence. Look at verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Just in those first couple of verses there, we see that Jesus is leaving. Jesus is returning to the Father. And what if you're one of his disciples? You have been with him, I mean, every day, every night. You have listened to all he's been teaching, and you have seen all that he's done, and you are convinced this is the promised Messiah, the Son of God, that the Old Testament said was coming, and you have the privilege of being his closest disciples. And he's saying, guys, I am him, and I'm leaving. How would you feel? I mean, that's troubling. And Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. I'm going to the Father. Skip down at verse 6, and Jesus said, he's going to the Father, and he says, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm leaving. I'm returning to the Father, and I'm the only way to him. I will come get you so that where I am, you may be also. That will be with the Father. And listen, guys, I'm leaving. I'm going to the Father, and there's only one way to him, and it's through me and this path I'm about to walk. His sinless life, his death in our place on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension is only through Christ that we can be with the Father as well. So Jesus is leaving. Jesus is making a way to the Father. Skip down to verse 12. He's leaving, so this is what he's telling his guys. Verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, I'm leaving, okay? I'm leaving. So remember this. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. In other words, it's good that I'm going, because those who believe in me will do not only the works I've done, but even greater works. But I want you to get this. Jesus is leaving. He's making a way to the Father. And he says, if you believe in me, what will you do? If you believe in me, you'll do what I've done. You'll do the works I've done. Y'all see that? It's very important. If you believe in me, whoever believes in me will also do the works I do. Skip down to verse 15, and we hear a similar statement. If you love me, what? You will keep my commandments. Again, is that hard to understand? Let's put these together. Look at verse 12. If you believe in me, what will you do? The works I did. And verse 15, if you love me, what will you do? You'll keep my commandments. Is that hard? This isn't hard to understand at all. Jesus is leaving and he's telling them this. So he says, if you believe in me, you'll do what I did. If you love me, you'll do what I said. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you love him? Then we ought to be doing what he did and obeying what he said. Now make sure you feel the context here, because sometimes in church or in Sunday school or in Bible study, we can start hearing this and we can kind of get numb and glazed over. And the cure for that is to be there. Almost like this is a movie, but even time travel, if we could go back and we're sitting there and we're watching Jesus tell the disciples, I'm about to leave, guys. If you believe me, you'll do the works I do. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Are you listening to me, men? I'm leaving. And if you love me, you'll do all I've prepared you for this. You'll do all I've told you to do. I want you to feel the context. If you're one of the disciples, or maybe you're not, but you're just, if we're there like listening to Jesus talk to them and they're processing this, you can see their face and you kind of can feel sorry for them. Jesus has shown them a lot. This is history changing stuff they've been a part of. I mean, it's incomprehensible. Like, I've seen it, but I've not yet fully grasped it. And when you read the New Testament, you can tell the disciples were trying to keep up, but they were struggling, weren't they? They're trying. It's just so much. Jesus has shown them a lot. He's done so much, and he's taught them a lot. He's said so much about the Old Testament, the law, and it pointing to him and what he's come to do and the end of the age and the hypocrites and the Pharisees and the true believers and the Gentiles. He said, do this, don't do that, and he said so much, and he's like, I'm leaving, so make sure you do all of it. How many of y'all feel that way when you're like, yeah, I want to keep his commandments, but Alan, good night. There's a lot of stuff in there, and some of it's hard to understand. Well, we have God's word. They had God's son, and he said, I'm about to leave you. I do love you, and I want to keep your commandments, but Jesus, I can't remember what you did. What if we don't remember what you said? You ever felt that way? And Jesus is simply saying, I'm leaving. Do what you've seen me doing. Obey all that I've taught you. They're like, yeah, but Jesus, this is so much. You're God. We're not. You're Jesus. We're not. How can we remember? How is this possible? Why are you leaving? Where are you going? It's all so much. We do believe. We want to do the works that you've done. We do love you. We want to keep your commandments. But how, Lord? That is impossible. Without you, how will we do this? Are you leaving us as orphans? It's kind of the weight of this. Like, how will we make it without you? And I want you to look at Jesus' sweet words. He is so serious about the disciples doing what he's done and obeying what he's taught that he says, I'm sending you a helper. I'll send the help you need to do what I've called you to do. Look at verse 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Okay, Lord, but I don't know that I can. It's so much, so hard. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Look at verse 16. And Jesus said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even, or namely, the Spirit of truth. This is the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, but I'm sending you a helper. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit does, okay? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So the world doesn't have the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't get this because they don't have the Holy Spirit. He said they can't receive the Holy Spirit because the world neither sees him nor knows him. But he says you do know him. He dwells in you and will be with you. And that language right there, he dwells with you and will be in you. It's that already but not yet. There's a theological tension in Scripture that's already but not yet. You have the Holy Spirit and you will receive the Holy Spirit. It's not that you don't have him yet. You do have him. You have him all this time, but you will have him. And we see where Jesus in the upper room breathed on them, and then the Holy Spirit even fell on them. You have the Holy Spirit, but he's not only with you, he will be in you. The world doesn't have him, the Holy Spirit, but I will ask the Father, and he will send the Holy Spirit to help you. And look at verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. If you love me, keep my commandments. But how? I'll send you a helper. I'll send you the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to pause right here and just take this moment to teach you just a little bit about the Holy Spirit, and then we'll jump right back into loving God and keeping his commandments. Can y'all track with me on that? Just make sure you pick up something about the Holy Spirit here. Notice who the Holy Spirit is. Notice in this text who the Holy Spirit is. He's called the Helper. All right, but look at verse 16. Jesus will ask the Father, and he will send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. But also be careful here. In verse 18, he says, I'll not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And so sometimes what we can get confused is thinking that the Holy Spirit is Jesus. I'll send the helper, I will come to you. And if we're sloppy, we can say the Holy Spirit is Jesus, and we fall into a view of God that's called modalism. Okay, modalism is not the Trinity. The Bible teaches that our God, the one true and living God, is a triune God. He exists eternally. He's one God and exists eternally as three persons. Who are the three persons of the one God? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But modalism thinks that there's one God and he has just appeared to us or interacted with us in three different modes throughout history. Early on, he interacted with us as God the Father. And then, in time, he changed modes and he came to us as God the Son, Jesus. And then now, he's changed to a third mode, and now he's interacting with us as the Holy Spirit. That's called modalism, and that is not what the Bible teaches. The Holy Spirit is not Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is the Holy Spirit. And notice this too. The Holy Spirit is a him. He's a he. He's not an impersonal force. A lot of times we think about the Holy Spirit as some kind of force or just a conscience thing or a gut thing. No, he's a him. He is the helper sent from the Father. Jesus said, I'll ask the Father and he'll send a helper, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. So this is not Jesus. It's the third person of the Trinity. It's not an impersonal force. It's the third person of the Trinity. It's the Holy Spirit, our helper. This is who the Holy Spirit is. I want you to also notice what the Holy Spirit will do. What the Holy Spirit will do. Listen to me. You got to get this. The Holy Spirit will not come to believers and give them new revelation from God. Okay? The Holy Spirit will not bring new revelation from God. And you say, Alan, how do you know that? Because our text says it. Our text says the Holy Spirit, this helper, will teach us and cause us to remember all that Jesus has said and done. Look at John 14. Look at verse 25 and 26. Notice these words. You can underline them in your Bible. Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm leaving. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I'm sending you a helper to help you do that. And this is what the helper will do. Verse 25, these things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. But verse 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, look what he'll do. Y'all, this is not Alan's opinion. This is not Baptist opinion. This is Scripture telling us what the Holy Spirit will do. What will he do? The helper will do what? He will teach you all things. What things? The things I've commanded you. Okay, that I'm telling you to remember. That's the context. He will teach you all things, and the helper will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. What will the Holy Spirit do? You can underline two words there. Teach and remembrance. He will teach you what Jesus has said. Because you say, I know what he said, but it's hard to understand. He will teach you. And he will cause you to remember. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will send you a helper who will teach you what I've said as he brings them to your remembrance. Do you see that? The Holy Spirit does not bring some new revelation. So anyone who receives a new, y'all got to get this, okay? Because again, we're trying to think about wrong versions of Christianity. Anyone who has received a new word or revelation from God did not receive it from the Holy Spirit, because that's not what the Holy Spirit was sent to do. The Holy Spirit was sent to teach us and to cause us to remember all that he said to us. You see it? Look again at verse 26. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what? All that I said to you. The role of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is to teach and remind us of what Jesus said. And so get this. The Holy Spirit teaches those who love Jesus how to love Jesus by reminding us what to obey, because those who love him keep his word. You got that? Isn't that important? If you're a struggling Christian and you're struggling to understand what Jesus has said, if you're struggling to understand God's word, if you're struggling to obey, if you're struggling in this, listen, you have a helper. He will teach you how to love him by reminding you of what to obey. We have a helper. You're not on your own as you try to grow in obedience and love of Christ. Again, look at verses 21 through 24. Let's come back and kind of look at a tighter cluster of our around context around our verses. Look at verse 21 again. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. You hear that again? And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then Judas, not Iscariot, but the other Judas, said to him, Lord, how is it that you'll manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And this is when Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Fellowship with God is found in obeying all that he's commanded. You ever think about it that way? A lot of times we think about commandments and obedience as like not good, and fellowship with God more as just thoughts and feelings. But here Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And the same thing's true on the other side. Whoever does not love me, though, will not keep my word. And the word that you hear, Jesus says, is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. All right. Are y'all tracking with me here? Remember, this could have been a 5-minute sermon. If you love him, you're going to obey him, right? If you believe in him, you're going to do what he said. Right? Just remember, this is not hard. We're just wallowing in it. And sometimes you can get lost in mud rolling around in it. But I want to try to keep you on track. Listen to what we're putting together here. Just from the context, anyone who belongs to Jesus has the Holy Spirit. And there's tons of other scripture that we could cite to support that. Anyone who has the Holy Spirit loves and obeys him. And anyone who loves and obeys him, the Father and Son will come and make their home with him. And as we think about what we've seen in the context some more, you can say it this way. You cannot obey Jesus without the Holy Spirit. And you can't love Jesus without the Holy Spirit. In fact, you can't know Jesus without the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, that's what Jesus said. The world doesn't know him. They don't receive him. They don't understand. You can't do these things without the Holy Spirit. But by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we can know Jesus, we can love Jesus, and we can obey Jesus because he is our helper. Verse 16 calls him helper. Verse 26 calls him a helper. He is our helper. He teaches. He reminds. He helps us to obey. He helps those of us who love Jesus to obey Jesus. Do you get that? Are you good with that? Is that encouraging? Let's just pause. Do you love Jesus? All right, then what do we need to do? We need to strive to obey all he's commanded, right? But look, you don't strive in your own strength. You do so with the help of the Holy Spirit. And as he does speak to you, he will either speak to you from Scripture, showing you what, helping you understand it and how it applies, or you'll have a thought out here that seems to be out of thin air that drives you back to Scripture where you see it. The Holy Spirit is teaching us and reminding us of how what Jesus said we should do and how we should live. You don't have to grind this out as if it's all on you. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He will lead and guide and direct and teach and instruct and remind us of what Jesus has already said. There's nothing new. There's nothing new. Jesus was the fullness of the revelation of God. He's told us all we need to know. We are in the last days. All that's left is his return. And what remains now is an opportunity for sinners to be saved. And we need to proclaim this. There's no new revelation. He's given it all to us. Now we do evangelism and discipleship until he comes for us. Jesus said, I will come to you again and again through this context. So you can't obey Jesus, you can't love Jesus, you can't know Jesus without the Holy Spirit. You got to have the Holy Spirit. If you love Jesus, you'll obey him. Now, you ready to shift gears and let me frustrate you? This is where, what I'm about to share with you now is where I get meetings, phone calls, emails, and those things. And I want them. I'm good, because if this shakes you up a little bit, then you're hearing me. And I want to shake you up a little bit, because there's a version of Christianity that says I can have my Jesus and my life the way I want it. If you love him, you obey him. You don't serve yourself. You don't love Jesus and not live for him. If you love Jesus, you got to live for him. If the gospel's true, it changes everything. If you believe this, it's going to show. If you can believe this and it not change anything in your life, you don't believe it. The Holy Spirit will help us to love and know and obey Jesus. But of all this stuff we're looking at, the opposite is also true. And y'all hear me on this. This is not me trying to be fire and brimstone, mean and mad and all that stuff. This is me being a faithful pastor to say, listen, listen. There's a version of Christianity that is not the same thing as what Christ has said in his word. Listen. When Jesus says, if you love me, if you believe in me, you'll do the works I do. If you love me, you'll keep my word. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The opposite's also true. If you don't obey him, examine yourself this morning. If you don't obey him, if these things are true, if you don't obey him, then what's true? If you don't obey him, it's because you don't love him. And if you don't love him to the degree that you would obey him, it's because you don't know him. And if you don't know him, it's because you don't have the Holy Spirit. You're just like the world in verse 17. And y'all, that's exactly what the Bible teaches throughout the New Testament. I almost found every reference and decided just to read them to you for the remainder of the sermon. But I just took a few, not all of them. You can turn over to 1 John. It's to the right, one of John's letters. 1 John 2. I want you to put your eyes on this. If you don't want to turn there, you can just listen. But if you do want to turn, turn over to 1 John 2. Because I want you to understand what I'm saying is not my opinion. It is God's word. And it is a warning that we need to hear, especially as we have some popular wrong version of Christianity that's blowing through the churches. 1 John 2. 4-6, John is clear. He says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a what? Whoever says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this, how do you know that you're a Christian? By this, we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. Is that hard? That's not hard. Am I saved? I don't know. Are you following Christ? Am I saved? Do you look saved? And I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but I am talking about sinless direction, trying, at least stumbling in obedience, not neglecting it entirely. You got to understand what the Bible says. This is not unclear. This is not hard. There's a lot of theological mysteries in Scripture. This isn't one of them. It's pretty straightforward. Those who say they love Jesus or know Jesus or claim to be Christians but continue to live in sin are, 1 John 2:4, liars. Right? Did Alan say that or did God's word say that? The Bible says, if anyone says I've come to know him but doesn't keep his commandments, he's a liar. He's at least self-deceived. And if you're here this morning, I don't want you to be deceiving yourself. I want you to realize you're lying. You say, I'm saved. I prayed a prayer one time. I don't live for Jesus, but I did it one time, and I'm going to heaven one day. Listen, if you're not living for him, you don't know him, you don't love him, and it's because you don't have the Holy Spirit. You got to recognize this. Don't deceive yourself. And I know there's a popular Christianity that says, walk the aisle, pray the prayer, live how you want to, and you'll go to heaven. Listen, that's not what the Bible teaches. If anyone says, I've come to know him, and he doesn't keep his commandments. He's a liar. He doesn't practice the truth. You're not saved. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. You can turn over there. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. I'm giving you time to turn there. Look at it. It says, "For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit." That means you responded to something. I mean, you were a part of something. You walked the aisle, or you participated in some work, or you prayed some prayer. You had some stirring in your heart. There was something that happened. But it's impossible for those who have done this, and verse 5, have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away. Verse 4 says, it's impossible, verse 6, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. You say, what's that mean? Well, let's just keep reading. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, just a few chapters over. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. Hebrews 10, 26 through 27. If we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, all right? Now, listen, y'all, there's a difference in tripping and wallering, okay? Shane, y'all have always heard me say that. There's a difference in tripping and wallering. There's a difference in struggling with sin and laying down in sin and rolling around in it. Y'all get that, right? But Shane sent me a fancy way of saying that the other day. He said, this is a fancy way to say what you always say. And it said, sheep get stuck in ditches, but pigs wallow in it. That's pinky up kind of statements right there. I just say there's a difference in tripping and wallowing. But look, for those who would live in sin, and I don't mean trip, I mean lay down and roll in it. Like if you've ever yelled at your dog, "Oh, quit," you see them in the yard. Don't roll in that mess. All right? For those who live a consistent pattern of sin, living in sin, Hebrews 10, 26, if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. If you live in a consistent pattern of sin, there's no comfort for you in Scripture. You ought to be afraid. You can't lose your salvation, but if you're living in open sin, you never had salvation. There's other passages like 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been with us, they would have remained with us, but they went out so that it would be made known they were not of us. Another way of saying that is the faith that fizzles before the finish was faulty from the first. If you truly believe, you'll do the works Jesus did. If you love him, you'll keep his words. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments, right? All that's really clear. And so for those who don't, you need to be afraid. How can you say, I believe such a glorious gospel and I have such a great Savior and he has not changed my life? I want him later and I want the world now. Listen. There's no comfort for you. And the Christianity that says pray this prayer or have my Jesus and not live for him and not obey him and not keep his commandments, that's not what the Bible says. That's a false Christianity. Turn back over to 1 John 3. I know y'all are going to say, seriously, Alan, we were just in 1 John. I just want you to keep, put your eyes on it. This is not Alan's opinion. This is not like what Baptists believe. It's the words on the pages of Scripture. And any Bible you have, it's what God gave us in his word. 1 John 3, 4 through 10. John just continues to be really clear. And I think you could say 1 John 3 is basically John unpacking what Jesus told them as he began to say, I'm leaving, and whoever loves me will keep my commandments. This is John unpacking that later. John, 1 John 3, 4 through 10. Y'all, again, this is so clear. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning. All right, remember, there's a difference in tripping and wallowing. This is a practice, an ongoing, continual laying down in it, living in it. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. And I just want y'all to think about that. Why did Jesus come? To take away sin. How crazy is it to say, I have received Jesus, and so it's okay for me to sin? I received the one who came to take away sin, but somehow I can say I've received him, therefore I can live in the sin that he came to take away. Does that just feel weird? But isn't there a loose and liberal and light and freeing Christianity that just casts off all of the commandments and says, oh, it's just about a relationship. Never mind the rules. The rules matter. Jesus said, you'll keep them if you love me. Look at verse 6. It's plain, y'all. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. And no one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. See, I told you the opposite's true. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The opposite is true. If you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me. Look at it again, verse 6. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. And no one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. And verse 7 captures the heart, my heart, as your pastor this morning. He says, little children, let no one deceive you. I'm sharing this with you because I'm saying, don't let anybody deceive you. Make sure you understand what Jesus said. Make sure you understand what God's word says, not what you heard. Make sure you understand the scriptures. Don't let anyone deceive you. Look at it. My little children, verse 7, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil's been sinning from the beginning. And here it is again. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. You can't live in them. Jesus came to destroy those. You can't live in the thing that he came to destroy. He came to save you out of that, not enable you to live in it. Do you see that? The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy these things, the works of the devil. Look at verse 9. It's clear. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him. And he can't keep sinning because he's been born of God. He's been born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old's passed away and all things have been made new. When we're baptized, we're buried in the waters of baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. You can't continue to live in sin if you've truly been saved because you've been regenerated. You've been born again. You've been made new. And all of that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember now, there's a difference in tripping and wallowing. But those who are wallowing in sin, who make a practice of sinning, they don't belong to God. Look at verse 10, in case we missed it. Verse 10, he says, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Here's how you can discern the difference. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Y'all, this ain't hard. This is clear. There's a version of Christianity that teaches the opposite of what Jesus said. There's a version of Christianity that teaches the opposite of what the Bible says. And usually they teach it under the banner of love. And the easiest one to point out in our current time today is the homosexual who says, I'm a Christian and I'm living in an active homosexual relationship. To that I would just say, what does the Bible say? You're not a Christian. To those who say, I know him, but do not keep his commandments, what's the Bible say? You're a liar. No one, right here in verse 6, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. And the one who does keep on sinning has neither seen him or known him. It's easy to pick on that one today with the conclusion of Pride Month. What about the more subtle point? Not just the big blatant repackaging of the teachings of Jesus so that I can have him and sin. What about the more subtle, sneaky things? The sayings like this. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. It's not true. It's not true. That's not right. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. Now, I know what we mean, and even when I've said that, I know what I mean, but we need to be careful with language like that. When we say it's not about religion, it's not about relationship, we're usually saying, hey, you don't get saved by doing good works. You don't earn your salvation by doing good works. You can only be saved by forgiveness that's found in Christ and a personal relationship with him. You'll never be good enough to be saved. You'll never be good enough to stay saved. You don't get to heaven because of all your religion. And that, if we mean it that way, then that's true. You're not saved by religion. You're saved by a relationship with Jesus. But if we're talking about sanctification, if we're talking about the life of a Christian, we are very religious people. We are very religious people. And so we got to be careful. What do we mean? Not saved by works, not saved by religion. Sure, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm going to heaven because I know Jesus as my personal Savior. But at the same time, I can't say I know Jesus as my personal Savior and live however I want to. If I love him, if I know him, I will obey him and keep his word. And what is that called? When I'm obeying him, when I'm doing the things he commanded. Doing the works he did, keeping the words he said, obeying the commandments he gave. What is that called? That's religion. That's my practice. That's my service and duty and devotion to my God who saved me freely, not by works, but through the blood of Jesus. We are religious people. We have duties and obligations and devotions. And we don't do those things in order to be saved, but we do them because we have been saved. We don't do them so Jesus will save us. We do them because we love him. Do you see the difference in that? If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. There's a version of Christianity that teaches the opposite of what the Bible says, or at least is very sloppy with what the Bible says. And y'all, as we grow as Christians, we've got to be crisp and clear. And I want to ask you personally, not about those out there, but what about you? I really want you to examine your heart. Do you love him? Do you obey him? Do you keep his commandments? Or do you have not just life, but also Christianity just like you like it? I got Jesus just enough to get to heaven, and I'll hang the rest of my body off the other side of that fence, and I'll be all in the world, but I got my hand on his ankle, so it's okay. There's no room for that. We got to wake up as a church. Too many of you, and y'all, I'm talking to Cloverdale Baptist Church, too many of you build your theology around what sounds good, not what Scripture says. Beware of country music theology. Beware of TikTok theology. Beware of sounds good theology. What does the Bible say? Let's press everything up against God's word and let it shape what we believe. Who cares what I think? Who cares what you think? Who cares what culture thinks? What does the one who rose from the dead say? I want to know what he thinks, and I want to think rightly about him so I can live rightly before him. We find all of that right here in Scripture. Has your theology been shaped around what you think or what sounds good, or has it been shaped by Scripture? And here at Cloverdale, we've got to be hearers and doers of the word, thinking rightly about God, not as we've imagined him to be. and living rightly before God, not according to what sounds good. And who helps us do that? The Holy Spirit. If we'll search the scriptures and pray and say, teach me, show me, Jesus has promised that he will send the Holy Spirit to help us. We just got to spend time in the Word. Again, there's a version of Christianity that teaches the opposite of what Jesus said, teaches the opposite of what the Bible says, and they teach it all under the banner of love. But look at what Jesus says in John 14, 23 and 24. Here's the love. Here's the love that matters. This is the banner of love that matters. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. John 14, 23. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. John 14, 24. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And then he says this, and the word you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Okay, and you say, all right, Alan, if I love him, I will keep his commandments. Which commandments? What are his commandments? Look at the end of verse 24 there. Jesus says, these words are not my words. They are whose? The Father's. What are we to obey? God's word. All of it. Which part of it? Whatever part is in front of your face. Start there. Get that part right and then go to the next thing. And some people are like, well, technically Jesus didn't say anything about this. And technically Jesus didn't say anything about that. Listen, what did Jesus say? The words I'm talking about. I'm not saying my words. But my whole goal on earth has been to do the will of the Father, speak the words of the Father. And the words I'm telling you to obey are not my words, but they are the Father's who sent me. 66 books of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, searching the scriptures to rightly understand them and live accordingly, to walk according to the word. If anyone says he abides in him, he ought to walk the way Jesus walked. And Jesus is telling us plainly, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my Father's word. I want y'all to understand clearly what I'm doing this morning is not waging some culture war. I'm not trying to rail against the times. The world's going to always be crazy. It always has been crazy. You can always fuss about the culture. I'm not trying to fuss about the culture. I'm trying to obey the Great Commission. Because you know what Jesus told the disciples to do literally before he ascended, after he had raised from the dead, but before he ascended into heaven with the Great Commission. You know what he said to do? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Make followers of me of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And listen, teaching them to obey all that I commanded. Go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. The reason I'm sharing this with y'all this morning is not because I want to be a culture warrior. I want to be obedient to the Great Commission. I want to make disciples by teaching them to obey all he's commanded. And my goal this morning is to say, church, if you love him, obey him. Obey all he commanded by the help of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? We're not just getting people out of hell. We're teaching them how to live and how to love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And all of that happens. That fellowship with God is found in the here and now by obeying what he said, keeping his word, and doing the things he did. We don't have to wait for that fellowship one day in heaven. We begin it now by loving him and obeying him with the help of the Holy Spirit. I hope that's challenging, but I hope it's also encouraging. If you love him, keep his commandments. Let's pray. Father, help us to do this. We thank you for sending your only Son to die on the cross for our sins. And we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our heart to see our need for him and even to teach us and remind us of all that he has said and done. Father, we do love you. And Lord, we struggle with sin. We fall in sin. We stumble in sin. And Father, I pray that you would save us from settling in our sin with some bad theology, but that you would save us from this, our sin, that you would pull us out again and again and again and stand us up and teach us and help us to walk with you, to follow you, to walk as you walked, as you would have us to walk. Lord, that you would help us to keep your commandments. Lord, we know that you sent Jesus, you've given us the Holy Spirit for the purpose of abolishing sin. Lord, do it in our lives. Make us true followers of Christ. We give ourselves to you. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.